Today we're gathered together for celebrating Krishna's appearance day, remembering that. Actual day is about the 4th of September, but we're going to take advantage of my coming to have a special remembrance ceremony today. And this is something that Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, that he comes in every yuga. Pritanaya sadhanam vidanshaya jurushkitam sambhavami juge juge. He comes in every yuga, delivers devotees in order to destroy and annihilate the miscreants who are causing innocent people to suffer. And Prabhupada mainly that pleases devotees because he has other ways of dealing with miscreants. He doesn't have to personally come to do that. So this is a very wonderful opportunity for us to remember how Krishna, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, senses that he can come down and he can just mix with his devotees and have loving exchanges in different ways. When he's a child, his parents can shower their parental love on him. Mother Yasoda would be cooking for him, would be massaging him with scented oils, would be bathing him, just like he did in the bath tonight, known as Abhishek. That this bathing, when Krishna was first born, then his parents gave him a birth bath. So this is the birth bath of the Abhishek. And Krishna, he likes the products of the cows. So we bathe today Krishna in Panchamrita, 5 kinds of nectar, that's milk, yogurt, and ghee, and also honey, as well as some sweet water. Sometimes Krishna is bathed in Panchagavya, which are the 5 products of the cow, milk, yogurt, ghee, as well as cow dung mixed with water and cow urine mixed with water. Both of these are considered to be antiseptic. Cow urine is also an Ayurvedic cure for about 87 different diseases. There's a doctor in Indore, Madhya Pradesh in India. He came to speak to us when we had a national meeting in Indore, in Ujjain, which is about an hour and a half from Indore. It's Dr. Jain, and he gave us a lecture on how medicine on different diseases which modern science doesn't have a cure for, didn't cure. He was able to cure them with Ayurvedic medicine and cow urine. He's got a website if you're interested in this kind of thing. It's called www.cowurine.com. Actually, I never looked at it yet, but he told us. He gave us so many case histories of patients with dropsy, with AIDS, with cancer, with. So he claims that this is a wonder drug, that the cows have 4 stomachs, so it gets completely filtered through all the different natural biological stomachs and filters. So the cow is considered to be very important for spiritual life in human society. I know there's a lot of people in the whole vegans because of the mistreatment of cows, but at the same time, unfortunately, that cows are sometimes mistreated. We'd like to, in the future, just like they have organic milk and organic vegetables, they also have ahimsa milk, where the cows are actually allowed to live their normal term of life, and they're protected to the end. And for that, we don't mind paying a slight premium, but we'd like to have that kind of non-violent milk. But we do have, like in Mayapur, we have cows, so we don't ever sell them or get rid of them. We keep them until they drop, until their last breath. And there are a few farms like that, but if maybe like organic, years ago nobody bothered, but now everybody wants organic products. But organic milk doesn't guarantee that. The milk is also non-violent. So maybe in the future we can put some pressure. And if it's profitable, I don't think farmers have any problem. They're just doing it for the money anyway. People are doing organic, big corporations, not because they believe in organic, it's just for the money. But it says that the cow milk is actually good to develop finer brain tissues to understand spiritual matters. So that's why it's an important aspect for the dominical society, for the spiritually oriented human society. And therefore, a part of the ceremony is the milk products also take a prominent part. Also Krishna and his Leela, he appeared in Vrindavan where he was born as the son of what everybody knew. Of course we know that he was actually born of Vasudeva, and he was carried over on his birthday to, in the middle of the night, to the village of Nandagram, where he was put on the bed of Yasoda, and Yasoda had a baby girl and took her baby and brought it back, brought her back to the prison house where Vasudeva was kept a prisoner. Because the elder brother of Devaki was a very demanding person, and when on the wedding night he heard that the eighth son of Devaki would be the cause of his death, would kill him or whatever, then he, since that point, he decided that he would kill the eighth child as soon as he was born. So they showed, look at, well, got a girl, a girl's not going to harm you, so. But he took her by the feet and swung her around and tried to smash her head on the rocks. He was such a base person. But she flew out from his hands and took the form of Durga in the sky, and he respected Durga, so he offered his respects. She said, what are you trying to do? The person who was going to kill you already has gone somewhere else. So like that. Then there's a minute, so then he made a plan to kill all the babies that were less than 1 year of age, and that way we can get rid of Krishna. So he sent assassins out to murder all the young babies, so that way they thought they'll get Krishna. That's where Puta, that's also something similar actually with Jesus, I think. But this is Putana. She was one of the top child killers. She used to put poison on her breast and assume a very beautiful form, and then go and offer her breast to the babies, and then they'd suck the breast, suck the poison, and they'd die. So she thought like that she'll also kill Krishna. Went to the house of Yasoda. So what a beautiful baby you have, coochie coochie coo, and showed so much motherly affection, can I feed him? And then she put Krishna's face on her breast, and hope, okay, now Krishna's going to suck the poison and die. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad, I reciprocate with the way that people approach me. So on one hand she approached him as a loving mother, praising him and cuddling him. On the other hand, she wanted to kill him. So because she approached him as a mother, after she died, he elevated her to the spiritual world where she could serve as the mother of Krishna. But because she wanted to kill Krishna, then Krishna reciprocated with that and he killed her. So he sucked the life air out from her body. And then she was realizing that her life air is leaving the body, and she's trying to push off Krishna from her, because poison can't kill Krishna. So then she couldn't pull him off, he was holding too tight. And then she died, and she went to, and her Atma, her soul, went to the spiritual world. So like that, it comes to right from the very beginning. He was somehow or another sending different demons and different kinds of assassins to kill Krishna. And some of them had many mystical powers and could change their shapes and do all kinds of things, but somehow, one after another, Krishna and Balaram, they eliminated all these demons and protected their devotees. But for the most part, from in between, there's a few demons coming to kill them, and then they killed them instead, Krishna and Balaram. But generally, they were having a lot of wonderful pastimes in their very young age. They would go out in the fields with the cowherd boys, and they'd play different kinds of games, sometimes wrestling, sometimes frog hop, sometimes different kinds of cake, you know, whatever kids tend to play. They'd all bring their lunch to have with them, and then the friends of Krishna would Krishna. Of course, he being the son of the king of Vrindavan, he had everybody after the lunch, but he shared with everybody else. And like this, they took turns in feeding Krishna, and he was feeding his devotees. So there's a lot of loving exchange as a friend, amongst the friends, the parents. When Krishna became older, when he became a kishore, then he also was dancing with the gopis, with the young cowherd girls. He actually started this dance when he was 7 years old, just after lifting the Govardhan hill. And when Krishna took the Govardhan hill, when Brahma came and stole all the cowherd boys and all the calves to test Krishna, is this really the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or is this the village kid? Is the act was so good, even Brahma got bewildered, he couldn't tell it. So then Krishna immediately manifested himself as the stolen cow and stolen calf. And Brahma left, but he came back in the minute of his time, which was 1 year of our calculation, because his time frame is much different in Satya Loka or Brahma Loka, where he normally lives at the edge of the universe. His lifespan is billions of years, about 4 billion years long. His one day and one night, another 4 billion, 8 billion years is one of his days and nights. So for him, this is a blink, a moment that goes by really fast by our time. This one moment is our 1 year. So he came back, and then he saw that the cowherd boys is still there. Nobody was stolen. He got bewildered, you know. But I took all of them. How are they here still? He looked in his cave and he saw that the boys were still in the cave. He looked back and saw the boys are still here. So then he is wondering what's happening. When I look there, he puts them there. When I look here, they quickly shift them back here. Or is this a duplicate? How is it possible they can have a duplicate? And then he got so bewildered, because Brahma, although he is the creator of the universe, he's the, you can say, the first angel in the universe. But he is also nothing compared to Krishna. Krishna's power, his mystical power, is unlimited. So the comparison is that Krishna's unlimited mystic power is like the sun, and Brahma's limited mystic power is like a firefly. Here in Cairns, you have butter, you know, there's the lightning bugs or fireflies. Sometimes, that we have also in India, which is also a tropical place. So in Tamil, they call mini mini kuchis. And in different languages, they have different names. In Bengali, they say jing poka. But they glow at night. But in the daytime, their glowing wouldn't be very impressive compared to the sun. So like, the idea is like that. When there's nothing else to compare with, Brahma's mystic power looks pretty great. But when you compare with Krishna, then he's overshadowed. So like this, then Brahma realized that he's playing with the real Krishna. This is the original personality of Godhead. Somehow he's pulling the wool over his eye. He made a duplicate wallet that he had stolen. They fell down at Krishna's lotus feet. From Krishna's body, many Brahmas and many Vishnus and many Lakshmis, goddesses of fortune, they were coming out. So in this way, Brahma, he begged for his forgiveness. To Krishna, beg Krishna for forgiveness for his impudence, to test him like that. So Krishna, anyway, this is all just one day in his leela, it's not a big deal. The cowherd boys will all return. So while Krishna was expanded as the cowherd boys, and then the real cowherd boys were kept captive in suspended animation in the cave, at that time, Narada Muni came and advised Nanda Maharaj to get all the young boys married, because in India at that time there was child marriage. So by the time they grew in adolescence, they knew this is my wife. They knew each other since they were 7 years old. When they grow up, then they live together. Till then they're married. They've already, but they're not living together until they achieve puberty. So He got everybody married. So technically, all the gopis actually married Krishna because he was all the cowherd boys. Although it appears that they married different cowherd boys, but actually it was Krishna. So there was a natural affection that the gopis had. Also, Krishna is the original husband. He's the original Purusha. So this way, and there's those pastimes of Krishna dancing. But when he was 7 years old and dancing, there's no question of lust in a seven-year-old. It's not a sexual dance. It was a dance of loving exchange. So, a much higher level. Like this, there's so many different pastimes of Krishna. Until he speaks the Bhagavad Gita near the end of his life, when he goes to visit Arjuna at the Kurukshetra battlefield. That time the battle, going between the battles, battling armies, so before the fight started, then he spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Gita means song, and Bhagavad means literally of God, of the personality of Godhead. So Bhagavad Gita is the song of the personality of Godhead. So there we're getting the teachings right from the Lord's lotus mouth. So Krishna, he was saying that actually to be born as a human being. In fact, we read this morning in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto that it's a very rare gift. It's a gift of Krishna. Because as a human being, we're able to understand what is the purpose of spiritual life. In the animal species, they also have sense gratification. But human beings can understand that just the gratification of the senses in itself is not really the purpose of life. Because anything we do with our senses gets us, that's not a devotional service, gets us entangled in karma. And if you have good karma, then we can enjoy some happiness in the material world. Maybe because you're all in Australia because of some good karma. There's a lot worse places to be in the world. At the same time, it's not that you have to be here in the material world to experience your karma. I mean, if whatever bad karmas we have cancer, we have so many diseases, we have AIDS, we have different problems, mental stress, legal problems. So, good and bad karma, they're affecting everyone. And it's all relative how much of her enjoy. So Krishna is actually giving us another alternative that we can perform his devotional. If we perform his devotional service, then there's no karma. It's called akarma. Because anything we offer to Krishna, then he just absorbs it and he directly blesses us. It's out of the material frame. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita that says, Mam chajo vevicharina bhakti jo gena sevate saguna samatitai kadva mabhuvaya kalpate. That every time we offer our service to Krishna in bhakti yoga, that it is transcendental to the three modes of material nature. It's not in the mode of ignorance or passion or even goodness. It's in pure goodness. It's in the transcendental mode. And by offering that service to Krishna, then Krishna directly reciprocates with us and directly gives us his blessings. So it's a transcendental platform. So this kind of activity that bhakti yoga yogis offer, they use their senses. It's like today I think Taruni and Jagatpati have prepared, along with some other devotees, have prepared a feast. You see, so this using your tongue by eating the feast, that is also a meditation. Not a very difficult one. How many of you like to do that kind of meditation? Prasadam meditation. So, like that, we use our senses in Krishna's service, eating prasadam. Then when some of you have the serious bhakti yogi, then they'll avoid eating anything but prasad. They'll try to offer everything they eat to Krishna. When they're traveling, when it's not possible, then they have some kind of emergency mantra. You can say, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, and eat it. But they avoid meat, fish, and eggs, and things that Krishna doesn't accept. So like this, the devotees, by their diet, by their meditating on Krishna's name, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this way also meditating by chanting and hearing. Just like even here in this community, we don't have a temple yet, but of course we have a small here, the house temple of Jagatpati Saruni. So we're able to come here and see their deities, but we don't have like a central temple yet. But still, we can, everyone can practice in your own house. You can have some deities or come to the different Grihastha's house and participate. But anywhere you go, whether in your car, whether walking, whether sitting in the beach, whether in the forest, whether in your closet, wherever you like to, you can, or just out on the lawn, you can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, we're talking a little bit about Brahma. Actually, after Brahma stole Krishna's calves and cows, cowherd boys rather, he was feeling really guilty that, why did I do that? Why did I act so impudently with Krishna? And he decided that he wanted to get forgiven, really wanted to get some kind of special blessing that he wouldn't do this again. Because he's already, actually Brahma is over 50 years old. He lives 100 years, he's over 50. Exactly how many years he is, I don't know, but he's over, half his life is over. So, kind of middle age crisis situation here. Why am I being so impudent with Krishna to steal his devotees and testing him? And I want to get love of Krishna. I don't want to remain in this kind of situation. Then Brahma, who is the original living entity in the universe, like I was just in Trivandrum for an Ayurvedic health cure, and there they have the lily of Padmanabha. I don't know if you've ever seen the Padmanabha. Anybody seen Padmanabha Devi in Kerala? No? What? Okay. Mahabraha, my secretary. Anybody else? So this Devi, there's about 8 different deities in India which are considered to be like a very special deities who are manifesting themselves and having some eternal lila. Like Krishna in Vrindavan is eternally in childhood pastime. Krishna in Badri Nath, he's always meditating. Since Krishna in Jagannath Puri, he's always eating 56 times a day. Krishna in Mayapur, he's always as a devotee. So said this this Padmanabha, he's lying down on the Ananta Sesha. It's a form of Garbhodakshay Vishnu, that Vishnu enters into the empty universe, and from his navel comes a spiritual, special kind of a subtle lotus flower, and from that lotus flower, Brahma is born. Lakshmi, his consort, is massaging his feet by his side. He's not needed to give birth to the son. He's all his mother, father, everything he. He's an expansion of Krishna. So there you can see the deity, and he's got from his navel this Brahma coming, the lotus coming, and Brahma is on the top. So, like that, Brahma is also son of Vishnu. Vishnu is his father, so that deity kind of shows that viva. So Brahma, he decided that I'm going to go to Navadvipa Dham, and Lord Chaitanya is going to appear in the Kali Yuga 5,000 years later after Krishna leaves, so maybe I can get his blessings that I can love for Godhead. But he's always eternally residing in Navadvipa Dham. Here in the middle there's the Lord Gauranga, he's eternally residing in Navadvipa Dham. So then Lord Chaitanya, Brahma, he was worshipping Lord Chaitanya. So he started to chant the name of Lord Chaitanya. One of Lord Chaitanya's names is Gauranga. Gaura means golden and Anga means form or body. The one who has a golden form or golden body. So then Brahma starts to chant this name, Gauranga.
Gauranga!
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 You can also chant, no problem. Gauranga!
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 Gauranga, 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 Gauranga,
Gauranga, Gauranga. So then Lord Chaitanya appeared to Lord Brahma. The beautiful golden form, he's like 7 feet tall, it's at 2 meters. 15 or something like that, more or less. And his arms are so long that he puts his arm by his, it goes down to his knees. He's got the 3 marks on his neck. He's got a very broad chest, narrow waist, very beautiful smile. So when he appeared, Lord Brahma paid his obeisances, fell down on the ground with his forehead. Brahma had forehead, so he felt down and offered his respect, and got up, wanted to offer prayers, came overwhelmed, and seeing the form of Lord Chaitanya, fell down again, offering obeisance. Lord Gauranga asked, why did you call me? What do you want? The Brahma said, you see, half my life is already over, still I commit offenses, I stole your cows and calves and your Krishna Leela. I tend to be impudent and disrespectful sometimes. I want to get purified from all these offenses and I want to develop my pure love for you. So give me your blessing for this. So Lord Chaitanya said, Tathastaha, okay, so be it. I'm going to give you the mercy. You're going to appear as in a Mohammedan family, in a non-Hindu family, which means you're going to have to be very humble and tolerant because people are going to not appreciate when you chant Hare Krishna. You're going to chant 300,000 names of Krishna a day. You'll be known as the Namacharya, the spiritual master of the holy name. And your name will be Haridas. And you're going to be one of my associates in my Leela. So like this, he gave him a blessing. So Lord Brahma came down and became Haridas Thakur and participated in Lord Gauranga's Leela. So like this, even the greatest personalities of the universe, different angels, different celestial beings, they come down to participate in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. I don't know if any of you come from any other planets, celestial planets. You all look very divine and pure, but you probably won't reveal that to us anyway. But sometimes this can happen that people do come from other planets just to join this Sankirtan movement. Because it's the easiest way to get a free ticket, to get a very cheap ticket back to Gaudiya. And it's very pleasantly performed. Krishna said, whoever surrenders to me, I'll protect him, I'll take him back to me. But very hard for normally for people to surrender. The Lord Chaitanya taught that if we just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And we start to practice Bhakti Yoga, it's very simple. And we can actually, and this is a very practical, easy way, we gave a very easy process. Like feasting on Krishna Prasad, chanting, dancing, doing some of these ceremonies, it's not a very complicated thing. And by doing that we can get actually Krishna's mercy. We can get back to Krishna very easily by Lord Chaitanya's special blessings on us. So like this, Brahma, he came down again, took birth on this planet as a human being just to be part of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So we're very fortunate. We can also be part. These pastimes are still going on. So the Lord Chaitanya's movement would be on this planet for 10,000 years. So we can hook up with it now, we can chant, we can practice, you don't have to. You can practice from your own home, practice in your own speed, whatever way you like to. And this way gradually build up your spiritual strength. Gradually purify yourself from material contaminations and karmas and establish yourself on the transcendental platform. But Krishna comes down to attract, but not so many people took advantage of Krishna's coming. They came again as a devotee. A devotee has a little more of a kind of a moral right. I worship Krishna, you should also worship. But because the Lord Chaitanya came as a devotee, this is how you worship Krishna. Then, there's an interesting, someone told me recently in May, I was in Mexico for the Rath Yatra there. And one Jagat Chakshu Prabhu, a Prabhupada disciple, my godbrother, he told me that he found a book from the 1800s that a Christian theologian went to India, and the name of the book was Journey to Gorakhpur in Search of Jesus Outside of Christianity. Something like that. Maybe that's not the exact comment, but something in that direction. So he was a Christian theologian, he went, and so when he got to India, somehow he came in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's history, his life history. So in his book he wrote that anywhere in the world, east or west, you don't find another example better than Lord Chaitanya of total communion with God, total love of God, that he would what he was in his loving ecstasies and appreciation of the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he would be manifest, he would be crying, he would be having these ecstatic symptoms which we don't see anywhere in the world. Such an amazing kind of ecstatic symptom. And then he also noticed that even in the final pastimes of his life, he would be together with some intimate devotees, and they would be discussing very intimately, sharing their realizations about the Supreme Lord and becoming and also deep ecstasy and crying in appreciation for the wonders of the Three Personalities. So he wrote, somehow is a very neutral, objective person. He really appreciated Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That was kind of interesting, because usually nowadays people kind of tend to put up their barricades between the different religions, and there's not so much appreciation of one or another, but apparently he went with a very open mind, and he had this kind of realization that Lord Chaitanya is offering something which he had never seen offered before in any other saint or personality, whether east, west, north, south. So like that, we hope that in the future people will be able to appreciate Lord Chaitanya, that he's actually giving us Krishna, giving us the personality of God in a way, revealing that we didn't know before. Anyway, as part of our celebration today, Taruni Devi Dasi is taking her second initiation, which will kind of an ordination. She'll become an official priest. So that's one. Then also we have Amber, who's she's expecting, and she's in the sixth month of pregnancy. So fourth, sixth, or eighth month, that the ceremony can perform, which is called the Shrimanta Nayana, which blesses her, her partner, her child. And so we're all set up for that. We've got all the ingredients. So we could probably go on. Because I could go on talking, but probably should not really get too late, because we can do those ceremonies. And we'll finish up with an arti here, and then there'll be a feast. So these things don't take too long. This Srimanta Nayana ceremony is about 15 minutes. And initiation ceremony, about the yajna, is about 12 minutes. Maybe within a half an hour we can finish. And just let me speak a few words. One thing is, for us in the Vedic culture, we like in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said having children is always a matter of rejoicing. Because we want to, human beings have an opportunity to get back to Krishna. So we want to give them that opportunity, and for us that having children is a nice matter of rejoicing. It's a good opportunity to get together. When you have, anybody's having, there's like 3-4 ceremonies you can have during the pregnancy, then after the child's born there's some things that are more private, like the birth ceremony, but then there's Namakarna, giving the name of the baby. Then there's Annaprasana, which is giving the first grain to offer to Krishna, give the first grain. Sometimes people do elaborate celebrations for that, or sometimes they do it very simple. Depends what they want to do, but it's an excuse or a reason. You could do a festival for Annapurna and give everybody a feast. Your child's having a first name. And this way, it's also an opportunity. Everyone likes festivals and likes to get together, and it's also a nice social exchange. But it's all based around trying to spiritualize our family, spiritualize our relationships, and give blessings to their children so that they can not only be successful materially and healthy materially, but that they can also spiritually achieve success in their life. So we do have about this called Dasam Samskara. It's about 10 different these kind of purificatory rituals. In fact, even a few more than 10, but more or less 10, maybe 13 or 14. Because they have when you first cut the hair, it's called Mundan. There's a few others that maybe not always in the, not the main ones, but they're also done together. So, but this one, Simanta Naina, we performed with an Indradumna Swami, and we did we had all these different samskaras for the newly born babies and the expecting mothers, couples. We had a ceremony on the stage one time, because every year I had to do the wedding. I was overseeing like weddings. And then one year I said, why not do samskaras? We didn't have any people to get married, so we could do samskaras. So that's like the purificatory rituals. So we got like 15 people on the stage in South Africa, different stages of pregnancy and with babies, and to do these different ceremonies. So it was something that just many people, even modern Indians, maybe South India, they still do this more. In some parts of India, they do more. Some places, they're a bit modernized, and they forgot really how to do some of these things. So, and in the West, it's not much opportunity to do it. So we like to also promote this kind of blessings for the children, because after the child gets a certain age, they really can't do too much on their own, right? They're totally dependent on their parents. So they can also get spiritual blessings from the parents through these different ceremonies, but also the mother gets blessings, the father, everybody. So we're going to have one of those ceremonies. In Sanskrit, but I'll read the translations what the blessings mean. We'll need the help from some mothers, married mothers with children. We have, you know, that can also, at the end, they have to give blessings to the couple. We have anyone like that? Okay. Yeah, this from the doctor who was helping the Kamakrishna Maharaj's disciple. Yeah. Oh, there she is. Okay. That'll be the final thing. Sometimes they do this ceremony in the morning, and they have to wait till the stars come out at night, and then until then the mother has to be silent, only can chant Hare Krishna or say, cannot just engage in normal conversation. So I told Amber, she's really, because doing this in the evening, she don't have to, sometimes the husband say, can we do this more often? No, just, sorry for that one. Then we have the second initiation. Normally we enter into spiritual life, we take the first initiation, where we get a new spiritual name, we get our beads, we get the neck beads, we take vows, and we practice Krishna consciousness as an initiated devotee, bhakti yogi or yogini. And then that's our offering to Krishna. But after a minimum 1 year, usually people wait more. I mean, how many years do you wait since your first initiation?
3 years.
Some people even wait longer, but then they can get also another initiation, which is called the Pancharatriki. We get our human birth, that's from our biological parents. We get our birth of the first initiation, that's from our guru, so that's called the Guru Janma, being born from the guru, my spiritual, my mantra. And then there's the Yajik Janam, which is the birth for sacrifice. to be able to lead the sacrifices and perform yagyas. Actually, in Moscow, there's a couple that the head pujari and his wife both do fire yagyas. So there you see the ladies doing fire yagyas. I didn't see too much earlier, but in the Puranas it's mentioned that sometimes ladies should do yagyas. So if they have the mantras, they can do. But at least they do the daily worship. And so this giving us these are secret mantras, so I won't be able to. Hare Krishna is a public mantra. She's already got that. Now I'll give seven more secret mantras called Gayatri, which she'll be chanting mentally. You know, that's seven. The seven, each one you have to chant 10 times, 3 times a day. That's 70 times 3 is 210 extra mantras. I mean, you're sure you really want to take on this additional? You're already working so hard. Are you willing to take on this 210 additional mantras? You're all with me. But these mantras help us to control our minds. They help, they bring us closer to the spiritual master in Krishna. Puts us on the fast track of spiritual life. I mean, already being first initiated is much faster than not being initiated, but it puts us on the track. And the second initiated puts us on the fast track, the fast lane of the spiritual life. So, I want everybody to give blessing both to Amber and her family. Her mother's here? Wow, thanks, the whole clan. The whole dynasty. We heard Amber's mother used to do service at Mawalamba.
No,
oh, that's your dad. Oh, dad. So, dad went there and brought the family, so they have a long connection with Krishna. All these things are on our bank account. Anything you do for Krishna, all came in your bathe. Many of you bathe the deities. You care in Hare Krishna. Did you participate in this yagya? In fact, those who like to, you could again wash their hands and give them some grapes. When we do the yagya, they can throw. Well, especially the last yagya. We do two yagyas. One is the one for Amber. That's with a fire called Mangala. And that's more specifically for the people auspicious. It's for the family, people in the family way. And then there's the second one is called the Vaishnava Homa, where we do the prayers to the different Vaishnavas and the Guru Parampara. So that one's more applicable for everybody. They can throw the grains and then. So this is to give you all a big spiritual boost. And this goes, you have your good karma, bad karma account. And then you have a spiritual account called Sukriti. And if you can deposit your Sukriti account, you can cash it in for good karma if you want. Or you can use it just to buy your ticket back to Godhead. When you get enough balance there, then you go back to Krishna. So you want to really build up your Sukriti account that can change your whole future, make it very auspicious. It can, by doing that also, it burns out bad karma. Or you see, do good karma doesn't burn out bad karma. There's two separate accounts. You do something harmful for someone else, that goes in your bad karma account. Or for yourself, for that matter. And if you do good karma, it goes in your good karma account, but it doesn't black out. It means you get to enjoy your good karma first, but the bad karma is staying. You want to get rid of bad karma, you have to do sacrifice. So Kali Yuga, the sacrifice is worshipping Krishna, chanting Krishna's name, so we can counteract the negative influences in our life. We can put ourselves in a positive path for spiritual progress. So this especially at Krishna appears, we celebrate that so that we give everybody a blessing. This is my first visit to Cairns, so I'm very happy to be here. I feel very much at home because I live in Mayapur, which is tropical. It's on the Tropic of Cancer. I don't know if this is Tropic of Capricorn or something down here. So this kind of reverse image, mirror image. But we're right on the Tropic, and we also have a lot of bananas and coconuts and betel nuts and all kinds of tropical trees. So this reminds me of kind of the vibration being back in Mayapur. Nice to see. I also, every year I go to Hawaii and I have some devotees there who are having a house program. So this also kind of reminds me a little bit of the Hawaii mood. Everybody's wearing their casual dress. So like that, But I hope this won't be the last time and I'll be able to come back. And later on after the sermon, if anybody wants to ask me any questions or if there's some way that if you'd like to keep in touch with me or anything, I use email and our website. You can also be in contact if you like. You can come and approach me about that. You can share our email. I want to just express, I went to the restaurant today. It's very beautiful, nice, clean restaurant. A lot of seats. I want to appreciate Tony and Jagatpati for their service to maintain us kind of a base here for Krishna consciousness, also for their service and facilitating that people get together. And they worked very hard for a couple of years now. They've been asking me to come to Cairns. This time I was brought actually to Australia by Sydney. They're having it on the 2nd of September, a big stadium they're renting. 15,000 people are supposed to be there. So that attracted me. Like, I'm the Minister of Congregational and Community Development in ISKCON. Mm-hmm. To see that, I think that's one of the rare things that you see, actually rent a stadium. So I'll check it out. In fact, when I was flying back from Australia in June, going to Bombay, right next to me on the seat there was a person who settled in Australia. I forget, he's an engineer or something, and his forefathers are from Goa, a Portuguese settlement in India. And so he's comes from a Roman Catholic background. His name is Anthony, but he's an Indian body. And but he told me that he went last year to that festival, although he's not a Hindu. But he went because it's called Festival of India and they celebrate Krishna Kutra with a lot of different festivities, dancing. And he told me he wanted to bring his children so they could know something about their roots, something about Indian culture. And just by coincidence, the person I'm riding with is telling me. So that, when they invited me that I should come and they helped to cover the ticket, the lion's share, the share of the ticket, well, and then, so I'll be there for that. That's why from here tomorrow I'm going back to Sydney. First, second, I'll be there. And then I was invited to go to America for the 4th of September, Janmashtami in Atlanta. They also offered to pay half my ticket. So because of the international deadline, I leave Australia on the 3rd and I'll reach Atlanta also on the 3rd. I actually arrive before I take off. So by some kind of mystical time arrangement, I can attend. I thought I was just attending 2 Janmashtami. Now you're having one here, so it's actually 3. So I kind of addicted to festivals. I like to go to different festivals. So. Then from there I go to Rome. And in Milano, in Italy, they're having a Rath Yatra, so I'll be at that festival. Then I have to go back to India for our national meetings and so on. Life goes on as normal. But like quick round the world tour visiting some festivals. So I'm happy to share a little bit of festivities with you all here. And I hope that I'll be able to regularly come. And they also always ask me to come for the Rath Yatra. I think it's, but usually it's, conflicts with Radhastami. Because I'm committed in Mayapur, because Radharani is the creator of Mayapur, Navadvipa. This is one of our big festivals. And Radharani is the mercy form of the Lord, so I need a lot of mercy, so I usually go to Mayapur and Radhastami. But maybe because of the lunar calendars, and this is fixed west, some year we'll be able to come here for the Rath Yatra. They showed me the route today, so it's very interesting. So thank you very much. Any question? Pardon?
Gindi Bodhi was a little enjoyer. Bengali. Gindi, you said, Puchi. Puchi and Bengali, Gindi Bodhi.
Oh no, that was, Jinapoka.
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 Which actually translates in Bengali to mean?
Lightning bug.
Lightning bug. So maybe you're on New Lumbar, teaching Bengali to the ladies.
That's it. Are you ready?
Very little.
Malo Akshas.
That's what I'm saying. Hope so bad.
Hindi is, of course, more spoken around India, but Bengali, Bangladesh, and India, there's also almost as many people speak it in the world, but Hindi is probably more useful in one sense, but Bengali also has many scriptures written. Mm-hmm. And Bengali is a little easier to learn, I think, because it's more Sanskrit and less complicated grammar. But I also learned a little Hindi. I learned Tamil now, that's just totally different. Like the roots between, if you learn one or the other, you can learn the other easily.
Mm-hmm.
Like Bengali, Amitabo,
mm-hmm.
Ja is the root mm-hmm. of the verb for go, and bo means future. Jabo, kabo.
Yeah.
So the same root is there in the North Indian languages.
Uh-huh.
So Hindi, my chaunga,
mm-hmm.
I will eat, my chaunga, I will go.
Ja.
So the ja, ka, it's all the same. Just the ending, once you memorize the endings, you got just all the verbs.
Translate across all the verbs.
All the verbs? Without exception, all that.
Grammatical tenses.
That's it. You got it. I mean, there's a few, but it's two slang things you got to pick out from the accent. I didn't have the accent in India. I still have a Bengali accent. I learned that for expression. But in Tamil, it's totally different. Like Hanga there, Inga here, Wanga come here. I just say have different. It's a different. But this also is beautiful poetry in Tamil. A great saint, all one. Okay, so let's shift out to the Yajna.